Great song choice for the class we had tonight, and the thought of the suffering there that was seen in the early church, and yet how they flourished and grew and multiplied even through the midst of those things. Maybe just for a moment we can extend that thought even a little further, and we think about Paul and think about the things that he endured in his life. And certainly we've gotten to look at, you know, Acts 14 and his stoning and potential there of even the coming face to face, as it were, with death, and yet still that desire to carry on and do what was right. And you begin thinking about motivation, what drives us. And we know a little bit throughout his letters and his writings about Paul and about his motivation and what drove him. And one chapter that I have always loved, or at least loved for a long time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think Paul tells us a lot about his motivation. And hopefully, as we look at those things just briefly, certainly could spend much more time on it and try to just hit the highlight. But what some of the things that drove Paul, motivated him. And let me suggest to you that these same things can motivate us today. I think first about the idea of reward. Certainly Paul knew there was something to look forward to, that there was something that was greater. Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. You think about all that he endured, he says, I'll forget that in a moment. That'll be as nothing when I get to enter into that eternal home with God in heaven. And we see that here in the beginning in the first 8 verses or so of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the earthly home of this tabernacle, this tent that we live in, if it were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so that be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He that hath wrought the same for us, for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, knowing we are confident that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and thus willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I think those verses give us a reminder that Paul had that concept within his mind. There's something greater. There's something that I'm looking forward to. And so I can endure the struggles. I can endure the things of this life. I can keep pressing on because I know that what waits for me is something far greater. We can have that same hope, that same expectation of an eternal life with God as a faithful child of His. Number two, what drove Paul? Let me suggest to you that it's acceptance. Acceptance, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. But there's an important point there. Acceptance. Typically we kind of shy away from that because oftentimes when we talk about acceptance, this life, we think about things such as peer pressure. Peer pressure that's not limited to middle school days or high school days or college days, but really throughout our lives, we can continue struggling with peer pressure. Why? Because we want the acceptance of those that are around us. We want to fit in. We want to think that we maybe have their approval. And yet what Paul ultimately determined for him in his life, I want the approval of God. He's the one that is my maker, my creator. As we'll talk about in just a moment, He's my judge. He's the one that I'll have to give an answer to how I live this life. And so I want to be accepted by Him. I don't want to be accepted by the world. I don't want to be accepted by the society that's about me. I don't want to be accepted by my peers. I want to be accepted by God, and I'm going to serve and honor Him. May that be our same desire. But then associated with that, why worry about that acceptance? Because he knew there was a coming judgment. Number three, judgment. Verse 10 and 11. He said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." There's an idea here that certainly we can think about. Paul was mindful of himself standing one day before the judgment seat. Have you lived? Have you spoken? How have you presented the truth unto others? How have you stood up for that which is right? I think that was certainly in his mind and in the concept, but I'm not sure that's the entirety of what's in his mind there. But rather, not only knowing he's going to stand before God, I refer you back to verse 9. That's the acceptance. I want to be accepted of him because he's my judge. I would suggest to you verse 10 and 11 is a reminder in Paul's mind. All these faces I look out upon every day, the people I pass in the street, the people that I meet in the marketplace, one day they're going to stand before God. One day they're going to be in that judgment. And I want them to know of the hope that I have in Christ Jesus. That drives me on. That makes me want them to know of that same hope. And so judgment, not necessarily of himself, but that idea of the judgment of others. What else kept him pressing on? I guess this is maybe number 4. The love of Christ, verse 14 and 15. The love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The love of Christ. One can argue, based on the language, is that the love that I have for Christ, or is that the love that Christ has for me? Hopefully, they kind of meld. They become one and the same. Knowing the love that he has for me increases my love that I have for him. That I want to serve him. I want to honor him. I want to follow him. I want to do his will. Even as I know he has loved me. And so I look and I see what he endured. I look and I see that while I was unworthy, Christ died for me. Romans 5 and verse 8. That's going to drive me. Because as I see his love more and more, I want to love him more and more. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5 and verse 3. The love of Christ. And then finally, the idea of the very work of God. We might close out that chapter even there, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. we could spend a lot more time than the few moments tonight, but allow me to suggest that would encapsulate in Paul's mind everything that God has done for us. Everything that he's done in providing for our salvation, he worked out through time, the unfolding of his plan, and in the fullness of time sent his son, Galatians 4 and verse 4. Here's his son that's come into the world to reconcile us unto God. Here's his son that says it's expedient for me to go away, that the comforter, the Holy Spirit, might come and continue to deliver the truth unto the apostles. The apostles then would turn and speak forth that word into the world in a way that we could have it written and recorded for us and still know it today. And the encompassment of all of that, that he's pouring out this knowledge, he's pouring out the mind of God through his word, that we might know him, that we might be reconciled unto him, that we might be able to have that eternal life with him. All that. The beautiful concept of the love of God. All that he has done for us, his work, to bring about our salvation motivates me to keep on serving Him because, again, I know His love. And so as we think about some of the persecution, even of the early church, sometimes I ask myself, would I keep going under the same? And I certainly recognize there's a greater level that they knew than I have ever known in my life. But it still can be a great charge to me. Would I face the same things in the same way? Would I be able to develop this mindset that says, when it gets tough, I will. I'll keep going. Because those same things that motivated Paul can motivate us today in continuing in our faithful service. I ask you tonight, well, where do you find yourselves? As we each examine our own selves, examine our own lives, and we think, well, some haven't started, maybe fearful, ready to begin that journey, maybe not yet quite knowing what it is that we ought to do. We'd love the opportunity to sit down and study more. Look into the pages of God's Word to know His will, the one before whom one day we'll stand. And there was one who knows, I know what I need to do. I need that motivation, that encouragement to be more like Paul as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ who is following Him. Would that be our motivation to do that which is right? And maybe we allow the things of this world and the troubles of the day-to-day life to overwhelm us, sometimes slow us down or make us stop, and we determine it's time to get back up. To go back into the fray, as it were, back into the fight, back into living the faithful life. Maybe you need the prayers and encouragement of even this great family. Some way that we can help you tonight, some determination there that you can make. To keep on pressing forward, even as we see this great example of Paul in his life. If so, let it be known if we can help you tonight as we stand, as we sing.